This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Sean Dooley, Joy Drive's chief bird nerd.
Good afternoon, Sean Dooley.
Good afternoon, Warren.
Now, Sean, I'm excited to chat to you because the federal election is coming up and you've got a tool that we're going to talk about. But before we get to that, let's talk about the Aussie bird count results, because I believe last time we got a couple of scoops, but wasn't really official. But the results are in, aren't they?
Yes, they are. This is almost like it's almost like election results, except this actually better. Matters. This is much more fun. Last year, you were a great supporter of the Aussie Bird Count, and last year we did it in October. We had a few delays in making sure that all the vetting went through accurately, but we finally got the results out just after we spoke last month, so I did give a couple of sneaky tips as to what was happening, but the results are out, and ruling the roost again is the rainbow rules the roost, the rainbow lorikeet. It was the national number one most counted bird in Australia, across all of Australia.
Oh, wow.
And this year, I think for the first time in 2024, the rainbow lorikeet was number one in Victoria. It nudged out the magpie, which had been the most counted bird in Victoria. But for magpie lovers, fear not. The magpie is actually the most seen bird. Like, one in every two people who did a survey around Australia did see a magpie when they did their count.
Right.
Usually, though, they only see one or two magpies per count, whereas when you see a rainbow lorikeet, it's usually in a flock of, dozens or hundreds. So even though more people did see a magpie, and in Victoria, almost two in three people saw a magpie in their bird count, but the rainbow lorikeet, when it is encountered, it's in much bigger flocks, so that's why its numbers are higher.
What about the corellas? Because Jules says I've been seeing flocks of little corellas in Princess Park every morning. Are they here to stay?
Yeah, they're moving around, and actually, as the sun goes down here, I can hear there's been a flock of around 200 to 300 near my place. And they're all coming in to settle for the night. Fortunately, not roosting in the tree at my house, because they can be pretty noisy during the night. But they actually snuck into the top 10 in Australia for the first time ever in the Aussie Bird Count in 2024. So they're definitely getting more common. But around Melbourne, I think they're like the 25th most common bird. But if we did the bird count at this time of year, I reckon they would be in the top 10, because they seem to gather in large flocks around Melbourne, especially in the inner city and other suburbs, where they really concentrate after they've had their nesting season, they've raised their young, they all get together, they're very social, and there's lots of food around, like the plane trees and the liquid ambers and lots of other things. And so, yeah, you're getting these massive flocks, which, to be honest, can be a bit bothersome at times. I understand why people don't necessarily love them, but I do, because they're incredibly intelligent birds.
Sean, you like this? My kids are obsessed with the bird count now. Not my kids. That's a message that came in.
That's good to know. Good to know. And it's on again in October, so bigger and better than ever. We had 57,000 people get involved.
Wow.
Last year, so that was brilliant.
Now, the election is approaching, not far away. You've launched a tool to help us discover the threatened bird species in our electorate and ask candidates what they're going to do about it. I reckon we should be using these tools. Tell us about it.
Yeah, because BirdLife Australia, when a non-partisan charity, and a lot of people saying, well, why don't you endorse a particular party if they have better policies? And it's like, well, we have to work with whoever wins. Mm. We have to try and get the best outcome for birds, no matter who's in power. So what we've done this time is I think the important thing is, even sort of the parties most antithetical to the environment will act on the environment if they think there's votes in it for them. So what we are doing is encouraging all of BirdLife Australia's 350 plus thousand supporters around the country to get in touch with their local politicians, their local MPs, and where possible, their candidates, and email them and say, look, you know, in this electorate, there are this many threatened species. What are you going to do? What policies are you going to enact to try and make sure that those birds are still here in three, not just 3 years' time, but, you know, 100 years' time? And so, you know, what we've done with this election tool is that you can, if you go to the BirdLife website, which is birdlife.org.au, on the front page, you can see all the facts and figures about the extinction crisis that our birds are facing. And this is your chance to let the people who are going to form government and the potentially the crossbench and the opposition after the next election, they can see that people care about this stuff. Like, you know, just quick facts, like, you know, 164 native Australian birds are already on the threatened species list or have a population on the threatened species list.
That's so sad.
45% of our birds are found nowhere else on Earth. So, you know, it's a way of actually, you know, I think bird lovers have always been the real quiet Australians, and this is a way of starting to make
the
a bit
noisy
of the noise
ones. They're going to be the noisy miners, exactly. The Corellas of the bird world. Yes. So it's at birdlife.org.au because the you know, the politicians, they're nervous now, aren't they? And they're listening. So now is the time to get onto birdlife.org.au and hit them.
Yeah, it really is, as much as we grumble about elections, it's kind of the only time when politicians are forced to listen to us and they want to get our votes. So they're actually going to be potentially more open to hearing what the people want.
So birdlife.org.au, Joy Drive family, let's do it. Let's move on to, it's migration season for many birds. Who's visiting who and where? Have you been, have you been spying on your neighbours?
I certainly have. it's actually, people forget, you know, think of migration as a spring thing when the birds come down for the summer, but they also leave at this time. But we get birds arriving, especially around Melbourne. We're getting birds arriving from Tasmania and from the mountains, basically the colder areas. You get a lot of migration down to a lower altitude and across Bass Strait. And anything can turn up at this time of year. It's really a fantastic time to be out and about as we approach winter, because birds are moving around looking for places to spend the winter, looking for food, and they'll move around a lot more. And so I've been out and about around Melbourne, mainly Bayside, but also inner city. And in some of the inner city parks, you're getting things like grey fantails turning up from Tasmania, silver eyes coming over from Tasmania as well, but also you'll get stuff coming down from the mountains, like more and more pied currawongs, eastern spinebills, golden whistlers, gangang cockatoos will come down along the Yarra Valley, and the flame robins in particular. They're very, a lot scarcer around Melbourne than they used to be, but if you go out just on the fringes in basically farmland or open country, grassland, you'll see these amazingly bright red birds with the red on the chest. The female robins and the juvenile males are a more browny, simpler colour. But, yeah, it's just fantastic to see them return every year.
Sean, can you do a currawong call?
Well, they pretty much... currawong comes from the indigenous name, which is... They pretty much say their name. The main call was that, karawong, karawong. Something along those very lines. Good. And a few other weird wails and whistles and things.
Because the reason I ask is because when I was a kid, my parents we'd go up to northeast Victoria in winter for our school holidays. And I remember, you know, around areas like Bright, you'd hear karawongs all the time. And then that's where I'd hear them. And I always associate the sound with that part of Victoria. But I'm hearing them in Melbourne all the time now.
Yeah, definitely. It has changed in our lifetimes. I was the same. You very rarely saw currawongs in Melbourne at any time of year. And even say even in the 80s, you would mainly get maybe a few flocks coming down along the Yarra Valley sort of area, maybe coming in as close to Melbourne as Bulleen, but usually not much closer than that. But over the last 20 years or so, what they've done is those winter visiting birds have started to come to the suburbs and realise there's food here all year round, and they've stayed longer and longer. And now we get breeding currawongs that basically have taken up residence. I remember, I reckon it was close to 20 years ago, I was driving St Kilda Junction and I saw a currawong flying to Albert Park and thought, that's amazing. Well, now they're there all year. But this time of year, they're still joined by the birds from the high country. So this is where you get the big garrulous flocks giving their currawong call and all sorts of other crazy calls sound as they move around.
It always takes me back to my childhood. Now, before we run out of time, Sean, something that we need to talk about is bird collisions. Why are they hitting the windows? Is it happening more often?
It's interesting. This is a really big problem in North America, where you get literally tens of millions, almost billions of songbirds migrating. And they migrate particularly on the East Coast, up the East Coast, what we call the migration flyway, which happens to have cities with skyscrapers like New York and Philadelphia and places like that. And all those glassed buildings, they often migrate at night and they'll fly into them. And so it's a major problem there. It's not usually been a big problem here, but it can happen. And at the moment, there's in Adelaide, there used to be, well, until this year, there was a big flock, like talking thousands and thousands of a type of swallow called a tree martin, most probably from Tasmania. They're on the mainland in summer. They fly across from Tasmania at this time of year, and they were roosting in the Adelaide CBD. This year, the Adelaide Council, in their wisdom, decided to net the trees that they were roosting in at night so that they weren't pooping on stuff. But instead, they shifted their roost to Rundle Mall, and they were flying smack into the Apple building, which was all glass. And what happens is, you would think if you lit the building up at night, they would see it, but that's actually the worst possible thing you could do. So when you have the buildings with glass and lights on them, the birds are attracted to the light and they don't realize that the glass is there. They see straight through, and so they keep going to fly through to the source of the light and they smack into the windows. And unfortunately, this gruesome sight of dozens and dozens of dead tree martins were appearing every morning in Rundle Mall. And it took the council a couple of weeks of this is where the quiet Australians actually can have a result. Lots and lots of people were complaining about this and demanding something be done, and they're now actually finally taking action and de-netting some of those trees so that the martins will move on and not smack into those windows. But it's really important to know that if you have glass windows and you don't have anything in front of them to break up the silhouette, especially if you've got lights on at night in migration season, it can be a real problem.
What about putting lights on the outside in the garden?
Yeah, that could potentially help. There is sort of products you can do, like decals and things, some that you can't even see, the human eye can't see, that break up the window so it makes it seem more solid. Even planting trees in front of windows, it can be good because they've got to go over the tree, so they'll go up and over. As I said, it's not as severe a problem in Australia as it is in North America, but as we keep building in urban areas, it's going to get, and building higher, it's actually going to become more and more of a problem.
Sean, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but always good to chat with you.
Yeah, fantastic.
I'll leave you with this message from Maddie saying, great segment, never thought to link birds to local politics. Off to check that tool out now. So there you go, birdlife.org.au. Sean, chat to you in a month's time.
Okay, thanks a lot, Warren.
Thank you. That's Sean Dooley, National Public Affairs Manager, BirdLife Australia. That website again, birdlife.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.